This morning's scripture will be taken from Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 through 19. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 through 19. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him."
Good morning. It is a delight to see you here this morning. It is a joy to be together. It's been said several times, so let me say it as well. Happy Father's Day to all to whom that applies. And there are many in here this morning, and we're thankful for that. Whenever we have a day like this, I have to have a sermon about the occasion. I'm just thankful that now we're not celebrating grandmothers and fathers' days and children's days and pet days. Otherwise, that would be a series of difficult sermons to come up with. But Mother's Days and Father's Days, well, now that's just fantastic. We get to talk about fathers. Talking about fathers is not the same as talking about husbands, and the two can blend pretty closely together. Before you know it, you're talking about two different things there. For a variety of reasons, not every man who is a father is also a husband. Any number of reasons for that to be the case. And when you start talking about husbands, you generally have to start talking about wives. And this is not that day. It's not Wife Day. It's not Mother's Day. It's Father's Day. So I'm going to do my level best to focus this morning on fathers. Having said that, those of us who are fathers and husbands, of course, one of the best things we can do is to love our wives. You didn't think I could actually get through without saying something like that, did you? I know you got plans this morning to go treat your father real nice. Fatten them up for the kid. I mean, probably get them a real good meal or something like that. And plans have been made. I'll try to respect that. I try to be mindful of that on these days. With that in mind, I didn't really know where to go. It seems like you start talking about fathers and pretty soon you're chastising them. It just spills over into, and this is why you're failing, man. You need to be a better father. And I don't want to do that this morning. For any number of reasons, things happen. I tried to come up with what we wanted to talk about. And this passage in Genesis chapters 18 there, verses 17 through 19, there's some wonderful things that God said about Abraham. I thought those would be great to highlight. There are four things said in that passage that every father would love to have said of him by the God of heaven. God said, "For I know him." That's outstanding. Here is God saying of this father, "I know him." Some knowledge that God has of Abraham. God knew Abraham and Abraham knew God. What a wonderful thing to have said, "For I know him." God said of Abraham, not only did he know him, he said Abraham is a great example. That's the second phrase there, that he will command his children and his household. Note the last expression. You would think it might say after me. It doesn't. The verse says, "I know him, he will command his children and his household after him." Well, the reason for that is God knows Abraham's a great example. Who does Abraham follow? Abraham follows God. And so he's going to tell his children, not unlike the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye therefore followers of me as I also am of Christ." God says that about Abraham. Not only is his knowledge of Abraham, but a wonderful example Abraham is going to set. He follows God, and then he'll tell his children, "Now, you follow me following God." You can see his sons did it. Isaac did it. His grandson Jacob did it. And it went on from there. The verse also says something about Abraham's household. This is another great point about Abraham. It wasn't just his children. Abraham didn't have one set of rules for his children and one for his household. If you were a part of his household, that would include servants and those 318 armed men he took to recover Lot. That's part of his household. Well, if you give those men wives and children, you can see Abraham's household is extensive. And God says of Abraham, he's going to command his children and his household. In fact, that's very evident for the servant who goes to seek Isaac a wife, stops at the well, and prays to Abraham's God. He knows Abraham's God. He prays to him. Great example. Third thing, there's a legacy. He says they shall keep the way of the Lord. And again, as you look through Abraham's lineage, you will find just that very thing. Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, Judah, on down the line, they did keep the way of the Lord. And then faithfulness, God says, to do justice and judgment. You can see that in Abraham when he pleads for Sodom and Gomorrah. He wants justice and judgment. In fact, it's Abraham who asks of God, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I thought, now that would make a good sermon. You should preach that. Yeah, but that's not the sermon this morning. It's not the point. I thought it was a good one, though, so we made it. But that's not the sermon this morning. I wanted to preach. Second thing I wanted to preach was about great examples. You see, there are fathers in here who are doing a wonderful job. And so what we do is we turn to the scriptures, and then we look at other men, fathers, who set good examples. And there are fathers in this auditorium this morning, those who are here, who are setting forth and have set forth good examples. And they have the same qualities. These three attributes that these three men had are the same attributes fathers in this very place possess. One of those is endurance. Probably can't be a father without it. This is a long job. This is a marathon, not a sprint. When you sign up and enter into this world, you're in it for a lifetime. They'll always be your children, won't they? They'll always be they'll always be your children. You're going to need some endurance. Job had it. As James writes to his audience, and the Bible is wonderful this way, the New Testament writers write to the saints in the New Testament, and they use Old Testament examples. They do exactly what we would do. We go back very often to the New Testament, for that's 2,000 years for us. That's old for us. And so we go back and we say, well, look at Paul, look at James, look at Peter, look at these early examples, the church and Stephen. And well, in the first century, they would have gone backward too. And so they use Old Testament examples for their audience. And those saints are suffering. And Paul says, or James rather, writes to that audience and says, you're going to need to endure these hardships. Here's the example. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of endurance. They suffered and endured. They went through it. And the one he holds up, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, the endurance of Job. You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Fathers need endurance, have to have this trait. Going to be a good father, going to be an effective father, you're going to need endurance. Job had it. But then secondly, Moses was faithful. You need faithfulness. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, stood at the entrance of the tent, and called Aaron and Miriam. This is Numbers chapter 12, where Moses had married the Ethiopian woman, and Miriam and Aaron spoke against him for having married her. Interestingly, they actually never said anything about the woman. If you read Numbers chapter 12, they talk a lot, but they don't actually say anything about the woman. It's a ruse. It's not about her. It's actually about their place and their prestige and their fame in Israel. And Moses, in their estimation, is getting too much press. And they're wondering why they don't read their name more frequently in the Israel Gazette. They are just not getting enough pub. And so they chide with Moses. And when they do that, God intervenes. And the cloud stood at the entrance. He said, hear my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream, not with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. That passage is quoted in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 2. Who, speaking of Moses, says he was faithful in all of his house. Fathers, got to be faithful. Faithful to their wives, obviously, but then faithful to the charge of being a father. Faithful to showing up every day. Faithful to being there. Faithful to all of the requirements and the things that are necessary. One of the things that children need and appreciate is reliability and dependability. And my father will be there for me. My father, every day I go home, he'll be there. He gives me, provides, but he's faithful. Moses was faithful. Fathers need that in our lives. But then thirdly, Joshua was a leader. We quote this passage all the time, and I just know that we appreciate a father said this. A father stood in front of the nation. And while he had talked to the nation prior, when he reached this point, he turned it very personal. Talked about he and his family. He said to the nation, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes, or if it seemed evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the god of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me, that's leadership. As for me, here's what I'm going to do. Not only am I going to do it, and my house. Joshua was a leader. Every father needs to set the path. Every father needs to get out in front. Every father needs to set the direction, needs to be the leader, the one who says, this is where we're going. This is how we're going to get there. This is the path we're taking. As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. Doesn't really matter what the rest of y'all do. Fathers are leaders. What wonderful examples. I thought, now that would make a good sermon. It's not the sermon, though, this morning. You ever heard of a 3-for-1? You're getting it this morning. No, this morning, I want to tell you three things that make fathers great. Fathers are great. Now, fathers don't have magic breath like mothers. They don't blow and heal broken bones. They don't have that capacity. That's exclusive to moms. But when you go to your father, you will get something like this. You can do it. You will get, be tough, be strong. You can make it. If they have girls, you'll get this. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. I don't care what Susie says. You are beautiful. You're better off without them. You'll get that. You don't need them anyway. If you have a girl, little heart's broken, you'll get, that's his loss. He wasn't no good, no way. Sorry, Pisa. You might also get, she's not all that. Have you seen her shoes? Well, she doesn't know what she's talking about anyway, and she's ugly. I mean, don't count that last part. What I'm saying is, when you go to your father, he is going to try to make sure you leave better than you came. He is going to do whatever it takes. He'll talk about everybody and anybody to make his children feel better. He'll do whatever it takes. He'll get on the floor and roll around. He'll do it. He'll have tea parties. He'll do it with his pinky in the air. He'll do it. He will do anything for his children. That's what fathers do. Fathers are great. I want to give you three reasons this morning why fathers are great. Why we have some great fathers in this room this morning. Brethren, thank you for being so great. Fathers, fantastic, worthy of celebrating. Three things. We got 15 minutes. You got three sermons. In less than 15, don't count that. Because you might be thinking, oh, well, next time, nope, it's not Father's Day next time. What makes fathers so great? Number one, fathers see the future. That's what fathers do. David is about to go the way of all the earth. He calls his son Solomon near his bed. When David's time drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. From the moment he learns he's a father, he starts looking into the future. He gets concerned for the outcome. And that future becomes his present. He knows his babies will one day grow up. David's son had done just that. David once held Solomon, carried Solomon, no doubt walked and cared and nourished Solomon. His name means beloved of God. Solomon was loved, not simply by God, but by his father. He's grown to be a man now. Every father knows this is one day going to be a woman. This is one day going to be a man. While they're mine now, fathers spend their time looking into the future. And so fathers make plans back there for over there. He knows his decisions today will affect that outcome over there. Affects his life. Changes his life. You hear men speak differently once they become fathers. They had a certain mindset before. They had a certain way of thinking before, but then they become fathers. And when they do, they start looking toward the future. He sets plans, sets a course of action. He throws his compass way over there to reach a shore. That's way into the future. The thing that makes fathers great is fathers see the future. Number two, father set a godly example. In fact, it's consistent with the first one. David said to Solomon, keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. David had lived a faithful life to God before Solomon. In fact, from his youth to his death, to this point in time, Solomon could look back over his father's life and he would have seen faithfulness to the Lord. He would have seen an example of what it meant to walk in the ways of the Lord, to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his rules, his testimonies, as it's written in the law of Moses. David took seriously the charge. These words must first be in your heart, and then you put them in your children's heart. Solomon would have seen that. And so as David now is nearing the end, he can look back on this example and he's telling Solomon, follow me, follow the Lord. Every father trying to do the right thing, trying to live for the Lord, he knows he is setting an example. And as he follows the Lord, he wants his children to do the same. Which brings us to the third point. The third point is, fathers, secure your children's souls. That's what fathers do. David says to Solomon further, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children walk or take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. The third point is connected actually to the first two. The security of the soul of the children is what the father sees in the future. When he begins and holding that little baby and starts looking into the future, one of the things he's looked for is the security of the soul of this human being. I want this person to walk with the Lord. How am I going to do that? I need to see the importance of my decisions today. Which brings you to the second point. Setting that godly example is the best way to bring about this third conclusion, and that is securing the child's soul. You see the future. It determines your decisions, your actions, your choices, your words, what you do, how you live. All of that is determined by that. And then setting a godly example. You don't want to be in either extreme too far. You want to work? Yes. You want to live a faithful life? Yes. You want to show your child how to live as a Christian and walk with the Lord. You want them to see that. He sees the future. He sets the example. He secures the child's soul. However, fathers can only do so much. When it comes to human beings, there are just limitations that other human beings have. The securing of a soul is not totally in the hand of a father. Because the very person that David is talking to, Solomon, he does not follow the Lord. David did see the future. David did set an example. But Solomon, if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 11 and begin reading, what you'll find is that Solomon loved many foreign wives. And the Bible will say that God talked to Solomon not once, but twice concerning this thing. And that Solomon clave to these in love. And when he was old, they turned away his heart from following the Lord. People have a lot of different ideas about Solomon because he's no David. He's not David. You won't ever read of David, he turned his heart from following the Lord. You'll read that of Solomon. You read the books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. You hear in that people talk about three different stages of Solomon's life. Listen, I hope that Solomon turned around and got it right. I sure hope so. The Bible says he turned away his heart. I just hope that wasn't the end of the state. David had left a good example, and some fathers have done that, in fairness. Some fathers have lived a righteous life. Some fathers have dedicated themselves to Jehovah. They've loved their wives. They've been good husbands and fathers, if they were that. They've worked and they've lived in a way that was righteous and upstanding, and some children have simply not wanted to follow in their steps. I do not mean to impugn those fathers as if they did something wrong. I do mean the securing of the child's souls, though, is the desire, the effort spent, and the life lived by faithful fathers. What makes fathers so great? They see the future. Fathers know where this is going. They're probably the only one in the house who does. In fact, because the father does what he does, it actually frees the other people in the house to enjoy life in a far different way. But that's by design. He should be the one up at night concerned. He should be the one on the wall, on the watch. He should be the one aware of where we're going and what we're doing and how we're going to get there. He should. He should be the protector and the guider and the provider. He should be all of that. And God has made it so. And that makes him great. And so we honor fathers. In fact, we thank God for fathers. We have some wonderful fathers in this congregation. Brethren, we're thankful for you. Pray that this day will be one that celebrates you and one in which your children and wife, if you got her, she's not your child, so I digress. Fathers are fantastic. Fathers are fantastic. If you got one, tell them thank you. Especially if he's lived in a way that's consistent with our Heavenly Father. Not a Christian this morning, become one. Become a Christian. It is simply the greatest life any of us can live. God loves us so much. Our Heavenly Father gave his Son to die for sinners. Friends, you need Jesus. A lot of people are still asking, what's wrong in my life? A lot of people are still wondering, what more do I need? What thing? What secret? What key? What is it that'll unlock the happiness? I just haven't found it yet. Friends, please, please stop looking here. Stop looking here on earth. It's not here. You're looking in things. You're not going to find it. Money, you're not going to find it. Pleasure, you're not going to find it. It's not here. It's in heaven. Rather, he's in heaven. You need Jesus in your life. And friends, without him, you're never going to find the happiness, the meaning, the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the joy you're looking for. Come to Jesus and find joy and peace and salvation. Without that, friends, there'll be no joy here on this earth of any lasting and meaningful amount. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you haven't, you need to. John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Where I am, you cannot come. You have to turn from sin. Change your heart. Change your mind. Repent, the Bible will say it. A different mind. And that change of mind leads to a different course of action, a different way of thinking, a different way of living. You're making new and different decisions as a result of having come to believe in Jesus. Jesus said, if you don't repent, you'll perish. Luke 13:3. Confess the name of Christ. Romans 10:9-10. Matthew 10:32-33. You have to confess. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to make the good confession. You have to be immersed in water, baptized with him for the forgiveness of your sins. God, through Jesus, will forgive you. Friends, you can't forgive yourself. A lot of people tell you that. Just learn to forgive yourself. If you could, you would have already, but you can't. You can't forgive yourself because while you did sin against you, you also sinned against God. And as a result of sinning against God, you can't forgive that. Only he can. You need to let him forgive you. Let him wash you clean. Let him give you a clean and pure conscience. If you'll do that, then he will save you and you will be a new creation because of the blood of Jesus. If you've never done that, you need to this morning. If you are his child, listen, I'm not going to get down on fathers, but we all make mistakes. We all fall short. Mothers too, by the way, just throw that out there. And children too, if you're asking. The point is, if you're his, then our Heavenly Father will have us back. Our Heavenly Father will always welcome us home if we will only summon the strength and courage to come. God loves you. And if you have a need, God would love to have you back. Thank God for fathers. Their contribution and their importance is invaluable. Not a Christian, become one this morning. We can assist you in any way. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.